Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to explore all of our previous episodes. You can subscribe to our podcast using whatever your favorite app or service is by visiting anchor.fm/irish-tech-news.
Hi there, welcome to today's podcast. Today I'm talking with Vicky Toomey, the co-founder of Tech Founder Bootcamp. How are you doing, Vicky?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on today.
No problem. And before we start, tell us a bit about your background so we know who you are.
So I'm a coder. I'm trying to be a maker. I primarily advocate diversity in tech through initiatives like Coding Grace and PyLadies7, which I founded, as well as being involved with Tech Founder. I'm a member of WITS Ireland. For those who don't know, it's Women Technology Science Ireland. I'm a past director of Women in Code Dublin. I've been involved in the Irish tech scene for quite a while, since around 2005. I got more active in encouraging, supporting diversity in tech around 2012, 2013, because I just wanted to see more people like myself going to tech events and conferences. As you can tell, I'm more from the techie side of things.
I'm
also involved in more international groups, like I'm on the Financial Aid and Code of Conduct Working Group for EuroPython, who run the European Python conferences. And I'm also on the Grants Working Group for Python Software Foundation, who looks after the Python language and technology. And I'm also a fellow for both Python Software Foundation and EuroPython Society. And I also got awarded the Community Service Award by Python Software Foundation. So as you can see, a lot of my foundation is coming from the Python community. And the maker-related side of things, I've been very privileged to be a Dublin Makers Maker Advocate a few years ago. And the side thing, which I always tell people, that I really reminisce about one job that I worked at Science Gallery Dublin for an exhibition called Game. So yeah, I do a lot of different things, you know, so across the board. And with Tech Founder, pretty much kind of aligned with a lot of things that I do. So that's why I'm involved with that.
Yeah, well, I can see you've got three major passions: women in tech, including diversity, Python, and also being a maker. Now, to me, Python is a great language. I did it years ago in college and I loved it. It's easy to use.
Yeah, it's a great way to get into coding. I would say, even though Python has been part of majority of my career, I would say it's not the end all and be all of technology to use. It's part of a tool set, but it's a great way to get into learning about coding and getting into whatever various areas people want to try out. So it's definitely a low barrier to entry, and it's also quite fun as well. You can do lots of things with it. From scripting, making games, right up to scaling up to web apps and applications and stuff. So, yeah, it's great.
Because when I used Python years ago, I did a college course about 14 years ago. I did a postgrad diploma in cloud computing in 2011. And when we did Python, we used it with Google Web Toolkit. So we had this great stuff. And because Google was buying stuff, it was basically easy to do. And we can do it. The equipment is there to do it. If you're at home and want to learn programming, Google supplied the technology that you can use it, which is great.
Yeah, and with the maker side of things, great. You have MicroPython and CircuitPython. So I like to do things on the fringe side of things as well. So you can actually, you know, overlap electronics and play around with. I'm not an electronics background, I'm more coding background.
Yeah.
But I got into electronics through Python, and it's so accessible. I agree with you. I'm biased, of course, to language, but, you know, but it definitely has got people foot in the door. I think that's the main thing. That's the whole point of me being part doing a lot of community stuff, is to get people foot in the door and just try things out and not be afraid, you know.
Yeah, and years ago, for a while, I was a mentor of one of the Code Dojos in a Trinity Science Gallery. And when we're doing it, they did two things: Scratch and Python.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw that, I thought, Python is... I was glad they were teaching people Python, because Python is an easy language to learn and it's not confusing. And once you've learned that, it's easy to learn other languages.
I think because of the popularity of Python, I think there's still a big gap between block coding right up to actual coding.
Yeah.
I think there's a project out there called PYTCH,
Yeah.
Which actually bridged that gap. So yeah, that's, it's kind of, it's just all these technologies over the years and the way, you know, and teaching people all different ages as well. So you get to learn how to, you know, people are curious about getting into the industry. It's one way of getting in and through whichever way you want, electronics, making games, making your first blog, whatever way it is, trying to figure out how to, you know, figure out how to go through data sets and things like that. There's so many different ways.
Because years ago, I started learning programming and BASIC. And then when I was in college years before then, back in the 90s, I was learning how to program in Pascal and COBOL and batch programming for DOS. Things that basically people would think wouldn't know much about now because they're not used much anymore. But I loved coding, but come back now, I know I'm not a great coder. And I can do like web design, no problem at all. I'm good at doing that, but people have got to know that what they kind of can do. And Python is a language that basically is easy to pick up and easy to use and do. And you've been a person over years that's been promoting that, which is great.
Yeah, it's I think it's because of the, I think I was very lucky at the time that I came across Python in early 2000s and then came across the user group and being, I think I just jumped in with both feet to help run it because everyone didn't know how to run meetups, I suppose.
Yeah.
And we really wanted to show, talk about the technology, but not around a tiny laptop in a very dark pub.
Yeah.
It was okay for one or two meetups, but it wasn't, it just didn't work. So we decided to go, you know, with the meetup approach. Before there was a meetup, you know, meetups or Eventbrite, you know, kind of platform to promote all the different user groups. You know, there was only the Irish Linux user group mailing list at the time.
Yeah.
You're lucky to see if there was a meetup or a gathering of techies once or twice a year. So we've come a long way. And yeah, as I said, it was that community that gave me, you know, the opportunity to, you know, to progress my career and also now paying back, you know, help others as well. And it's a very friendly community as well.
Yeah, because stuff like Coding Great are things you've been involved in. I've known them for over the years, what you've done, and I've always been impressed that whenever I've seen a turnout of people from your members, I'm thinking, wow, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
And also another thing for you, I guess is also a big thing for you, is diversity and trying to and trying to make that more mainstream and promote that big time, which is good.
Yeah, it's just trying to tell people who are saying, you know, I'm not a coder, I'm not techie enough, I haven't only written this little bit of code, which is actually, you know, lots of code, probably more than what I've been in because I'm more of a part-time coder now, so they probably written more code than I have. And I said, you know, of course you are, you've written code, you need to go to these various different networking events, these kind of technical meetups to meet others that might help maybe improve your project or give you solutions to problems you're stuck on or maybe help with your career. And these kind of openings that people miss out on if they decide to say, oh, I don't fit into that crowd, so I won't go. But if that is the only crowd that turns up to every meetup, then, you know, nothing's going to change. It's not going to be exciting.
Yeah.
So we need more people, more ideas, more, you know, to come along and more discussion. And also, you know, network widens and just more interesting that way. And, of course, opportunities for everyone because everyone has their own different journey. My journey is a bit weird. You know, once after my first couple of jobs, it just went very differently to others.
Yeah.
When I ended up where I am right now. So again, thanks to the community, all the community support, especially the Irish tech community.
Yeah.
And the broader Python community as well.
In some cases, if somebody basically like, I'm not the world's greatest programmer, but if I know enough to know what something can't be done, if you get along to one of your events, you can more or less think, well, look, you're not going to be a great coder, but you're still a tech media. And if you know what kind of can't be done, that's a start.
Yeah, I think definitely with events, for me personally, I like to go to events where I like to know about how things are going, what things I'm using, but I also like to hear about things my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
Something I don't understand or something I just want to look it up right now or go home and just check it out, put it down, write it down in my notes or something and check it out for later, you know, so those kind of exciting things that you find out about, which there's only so much you can do, you know, reading the news or, you know, searching, you know, in whatever engine you're using, and catching up with the latest tech stuff. But it's very different when you have someone using something very exciting and they're very excited to tell you about it. And the more people doing that, the more different types of people, you know, I think it is basically seeing who's actually using the tech and seeing who's up there speaking. And then for the people themselves, the other way around, that they realize they can talk about something they're really passionate about. They can show whatever the technical thing they want to show off, and they can code, you know, and you don't have to live code. You can actually prepare all that stuff, and you can actually come to smaller meetups like PyLady Dublin or whatever kind of events I'm involved in to practice your talks or get feedback before you jump into the bigger conferences to improve it. So for me, for my stuff, I'm always open to people to try new things anyway, because it's always evolving.
Yeah.
But people are still afraid. So I'm trying to, still teasing people to come out to give those talks, give those demos, do the show and tell, you know, and just and be excited in what you're doing, you know, whatever projects or whatever technology that you come across.
Well, I guess you're trying to turn someone's brain on into what you do and say, this is great and you're going to love this, and make them enjoy it more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Primarily, I deal a lot with adults because a lot of my groups, we're not-for-profit, so we don't really have an institution to back us, so we can't afford to do, you know, you have the guard of vetting and the child protection for working with younger people, but we just don't have the funds to cover all that. So what we do collaborate, with the Don't Show the Raspberry Pi Foundation back then, or anyone who's working with younger people and wanted to have a partnership with us. And I will go in, or we will bring in the expertise to help out. And it's kind of quite enjoyable. It's a very big difference working with younger people because they ask questions a lot more than adults. Adults are will do, but they're also quite shy. and a different approach to working with adults.
Right. Now, getting back to the main topic, we're going to be talking mainly about Tech Founder Bootcamp. Tell me a bit more about that.
It's a summit that brings founders, especially women who may not have a tech background, or they're thinking of starting their own business, are in the early stages of having a business idea.
Yeah.
And nowadays, when you start a business, they will require technology as part of their businesses or services or products. And the Tech Founder it's kind of like what I would say is like a beacon for female founders to gather, share their experiences. The practical tips, asking those questions, asking for information, supporting one another, and it's peer-to-peer as well. So even though we have, alongside, we have guest speakers on the day who share, who have maybe a few, maybe a bit ahead of some of the founders they're attending. So they'll be, you know, giving a lightning talk, or they'll be in the panel. At the end of the day, we're kind of sharing that knowledge, sharing that information to help them kind of feel like they're not alone, especially, you know, in the world of startup, it's kind of quite competitive.
Yeah.
And people feel like that their own business feels like they're kind of they don't have anyone to talk to, and it's different to everyone else's. So they feel like they're all alone facing these problems, which could be common problems throughout. But from a tech founder, we had the bootcamp last year, and the themes were the pilot one. It was started from building blocks related to building blocks for products to low code, no code, which and also decoding the coder, so demystifying tech for founders. Because female founders, from speaking to them at various networking events, a lot of them would ask, like, how do you approach a technical person or a techie if they want to start looking into creating a product or a prototype? How do they hire, you know, CTOs? There's a lot of these kind of, so when they go and do their pitches and do their presentations, they get this feedback. And a lot of them can say, oh, we need to find a technical person, and they don't know how to go about it, or they don't know, you know, they see all these the hottest thing right now in the industry, you know, but they don't know where to start, if it's suitable for their product. So last year, well, we had a lot of female founders who have been using, like, say, Local No Code with Evelyn Namayo. We have Patricia Salmon, who was our opening keynote. We have, like, Anya Malloy, who's used to be Girl Crew, co-founder of Girl Crew, was from AWS. We have people from all different areas, different that can help founders. So all the kind of different themes. So that was last year. Kind of, we were trying to, like Tech Founder is also think of it like a startup. We're also trying to think of, you know, what do people want? What are, you know, like what, like say the building blocks? Like we're asking those questions. Like, what is the product? Do people know what it is? And so we bring in the people who've gone through this process and help share that. And this year, the themes are kind of like the next step on, like in the evolution from last year, like when we're starting off. So this year, we will have speakers, like lightning talks and panels as well. But the themes will be around like moonshots, because we want to say like that women are very ambitious. We want to make women tech trailblazers. We want to make them more visible because they're aiming for the stars. We want people to confront their own limitations as well. The next one would be like next theme would be AI and diversity, where women lead the way to harness the power of AI to create a new and better world. And then we have Decoding the Coder, which is similar theme to last year, because demystifying tech is still quite a big thing tech is quite a big barrier for folks in general who have no tech backgrounds. So with Decoding Coder, where tech has no gender, we want to bust those myths and obstacles and learn practical how to take away on unlocking the potential for tech and for product innovation. So we have kind of speakers for those themes this year for the Tech Honor Bootcamp in April.
Now, you mentioned moonshots. Now, back in the 60s, when America was going to the moon, there was a lot of women who were behind the coding and made sure that we got into the moon. So, in a sense, we're going back full circle. Because remember that there was a movie about that a few years ago, and some of the women were black women, and they weren't fully recognized. Because at that point, black women were recognized and women in tech were recognized.
Actual physical computers,
yeah. And then there's a TV series called For All Mankind. I didn't even see it.
Yes.
And you see how much women have such a powerful role in technology and programming and everything else. And what you're doing is you're more or less letting people know women have always been involved in this, but they've never been seen until recently. And also you're more or less telling as well is we're going to show you the pain we went through, so you won't go through the pain. So you'll see our mistakes and know that not what to do, what not to do.
And with I think with founders, the storytelling side is so important as well, because you're communicating about your business. And we have Dr. Neve Shaw, who's one of the confirmed kind of speakers. She'll be opening. She's an explorer and a science communicator. And she calls herself communicator of space and Earth, which is fantastic. And so I think that was kind of very kind of it was amazing that she accepted the invitation to speak, especially around, since we have one of our themes is moonshots as well.
Yeah.
Because she's only just back from the Antarctic as well. It's like she's gone through a lot of expeditions and I've known her for quite a number of years as well. Like, why did you talk at Women in Technology Science events from a science communication side of things as well.
And also as well, you've when is your event taking place? The The TechFounder Bootcamp.
TechFounder Bootcamp is taking place on Tuesday, April 16th.
Yeah.
The Dublin City Hall on Dane Street.
Yeah, and I guess basically you can go online and just type in TechFounder here and Bootcamp and you'll get details.
TechFounder.com, you'll find the details there and the link to the ticket page as well.
Yeah.
Registration.
And lastly, we've got two more things to go for a finish. Is bias something still we should be looking out for?
I would say yes. I don't think that will ever go away. I think it's we've been in the past, you talked about a lot of unconscious bias, but now I suppose in the founder kind of world, especially for female founders, I think there is still quite a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
I'm going by, there are been reports that just came out as well. There has been some news article, one recent report you can find in Tech Ireland. But for me, talking to a lot of founders, there's like things from when you're pitching, questions being asked. I think there's someone, I think I saw on LinkedIn, someone shared a video, like a more kind of a comical video made by a female founder about like switched it around. If male entrepreneurs were asked these questions, and these are real questions that were asked to female entrepreneurs during their pitches, you know, things like that. So yeah, there are still biases. I think it's at the end of the day, it's like the system as well needs to change, but that's huge. As I said, I mentioned earlier about the unconscious bias. Even I think myself, I would have bias. Everyone has a bias.
Yeah.
But with regards to female founders, yeah, there's still a problem right now. As I said, from the report, it's kind of quite dark that are out there.
Yeah.
I think we need more female or women investors, right, angel investors as well, to help. It won't solve everything,
yeah,
but we need to start somewhere. But yeah, it is still a problem. And as I said, with all the activities about from International Women's Day, all the various different reports, all the different news articles, you know, it feels like it's taking a long time to change. But right now with TechFounder, I think we've from last year's event, we really lit a fire under a lot of people, and
yeah,
we really want a change. And the change initially would be like, you know, trying to figure out, you know, the companies, what kind of companies are funded in Ireland, you know, and we have to ask those questions really, because we don't know what problems to solve,
no,
or how to go about or where to start without finding out, you know, the information like data first. It's a question that's going to be around for a long time.
Yeah.
If bias is something we should look for, I think it's a very big one for the startup industry or female founders. But definitely go through all the different verticals across different industries as well.
Yeah, and lastly as well, one of the topics this year is women trailblazers. Who are some women that you look up to?
Oh, you mean here in Ireland or internationally?
Anywhere.
Anywhere. And you only just, how many? One or two?
Yeah, one or two.
So many. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Because for me, I'm always about the collective of people. I don't really pinpoint people. But if I have to, I have to call out, I suppose one of the most recent person is Lise Carvel. She's an engineer at Workday. But I knew her from Python Ireland, working with her in EuroPython.
Yeah.
And she runs another company called Pajamas. But But her passion, her joy, and her happiness in trying to help and promote, you know, Python technology, and be inclusive to everyone, it's just, it brings a smile to my face all the time, and the work that she's doing, including, like, there's, I suppose I want to, for someone that I don't know, I will point at Julia Evans, who's based in Canada. I'm really into zines right now. I don't know if you know what zines are. They're like different types of kind of indie magazines that you create yourself or you buy from other people, both arts and crafty. But she uses zines as a format to explain various technologies like, you know, containers, CSS, command line. And I just love her way of promoting tech and making it accessible and inclusive to people who want to ask those questions and learn about. So I'm a bit obsessed about zines, but she's also, you know, a speaker as well, very knowledgeable. I'm always looking out for people who wanted to share their time, their expertise, if it's through community or through different forms of mediums like zines. But time is my enemy at the moment. I would love to create zines to promote a lot of things that I'm doing. But yeah, those are kind of the two people, but I do have a list in my head.
Yeah.
From like Ireland, UK, and a few, I suppose. I want to mention one other person, I suppose, who I know is Andrea Magnorsky. She's co-founder of Coding Grace.
Yeah.
And she's the one who's been always pushing me, pushing the boundaries, asking those questions.
Yeah.
And she, like an amazing person, very, very smart. And I've known her from all the different tech events in Ireland, but she's moved to the UK since, and she's going to move further next month. It's kind of, again, it's very hard to pinpoint people because I'm all about a collective of people working together, both people, women and both allies as well.
All right, thanks for that, Vicky, and have a great day and good luck at the conference.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. Check back every day for the latest episode. You can follow us on Twitter @Irish_Tech News, on Facebook, facebook.com/Irish Tech News, on LinkedIn, linkedin.com/company/Irish-Tech-News, on Instagram, instagram.com/IrishTechNews.ie, and on TikTok, tiktok.com/@IrishTechNews.